The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
For the second week in a row, we have Larry Durkin from Durkin McDonald Law Offices. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here with you.
Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab and see what's going on. We get hits from all over the world.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. Look us up on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. Okay, once again, attorney Larry Durkin from Durkin McDonald Law Offices. Can you give me a little bit of background on you, how long you've been practicing law, please?
Sure. I've been practicing for about 20 years now. I'm with my partner is Neil McDonald. Our firm is DurkinMcDonald.com, and we're located in downtown Scranton at 108 North Washington Avenue. Our phone number is 570-558-1500, and our website is DurkinMcDonaldLaw.com.
What types of law do you practice?
So we do a variety of civil practice, and that includes things like real estate, estate planning, whether it's getting planning your estate or administering estates. We are involved in a number of different types of civil litigation, including fights over real estate, commercial disputes, and personal injury disputes for individuals.
Okay, very good. Today, I thought we'd talk about the family home.
Oh, boy. Where is this going to go? This is going to be a good one.
So this is an issue which comes up, for a lot of people. And it's as your parents age, what do you do with a family home? And, you know, there are this is kind of blends into some estate planning issues. And, you know, people are concerned, you know, primarily the concern that we hear is, what happens if my parents go into a nursing home? What happens when they pass away? What can we do to avoid, you know, the house being basically consumed by the cost of, you know, future medical care, or by the cost associated with going through the estate process? And there are legitimate things that you can do to address both of these subjects. They're a little bit, you know, outside, you know, the, you know, what we might have time for today. But among the things that you hear and we have seen people do over time is, do you consider transferring the home, the family home, into somebody else's name? Into, you know, most typically what we're talking about is, do you want to consider transferring it into the children's name? And, you know, that is something that people come into us with, and it's something that you hear of generally. And while it's something you can consider, there are certain risks, you know, that come with.
It's very common.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It happens, you know, quite a bit, primarily from what I see for those reasons. But it's not, there are only so many problems you can avoid. If that's the path that you take, which you should frankly only take if, you know, you've talked to someone who is experienced in estate matters. But if you take that path and you decide I'm going to transfer it from mom and dad to children, you need to be at least aware of some of the pitfalls that can come with that can come with that decision.
Well, that's why you're here today, because you're going to tell us about these pitfalls. Right. Okay.
Some unforeseen consequences.
So,
there you go.
Right. So, you know, the way that you that real estate is transferred is by a deed. You know, the deed is a formal document. It's evidence of, you know, ownership in a house. And what's significant about this is that in this setting is that once you sign a deed and it's filed with the recorder of deeds, you're out. If you're the one who gave it away, you know, your ownership interest is gone. You know, once you sign that deed, it is now owned by whoever you gave it to for whatever you decided, you know, the consideration or the money was going to be.
A dollar.
So, yeah, you know, and that's you know,
most.
Right. That's what you see. That's what you see in these types of things. So you can't get it back. You know, once you transfer it, the only way that you can get it back is if the people you gave it to sign it over to you. So you have to be, if you're the parent, you have to be ready for the idea that if you sign this document, it's filed and it is recorded with the recorder of deeds, it is a done deal in terms of, you know, what you have done, you know. So you're not going to have the option later on to say, well, you know, Johnny or Sally, you know, has irritated me, I'm taking it back.
Yeah, because it was a bad idea. They can't undo it.
No, it's very difficult to undo absent the children signing off on it, essentially. And, you know, and again, presumably you have a reason for doing it. Again, you need to have a good reason for considering transferring real estate, because it is a final act. It's meant for the world to know once this has occurred that it's done.
So you have to really trust your children.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to, you know, if you know, if you're mom and dad and, you know, your children have been a headache for the last 40 years, it's unlikely they're going to get better at this point.
They're going to be a bigger headache.
They're going to could quite easily become a bigger headache going forward, because they're going to, you know, depending on how you set this up, you know, they're going to own your house. And there are, you know, basically from what we have seen, you know, over time, there's three types of concerns, and I'll call them like the three D's. There's debt is a big concern. Debt of the children can be an enormous concern with this type of transfer. Divorce is a big opportunity for, you know, things to go worse than they are.
Divorce of the children.
Of the children.
Okay.
And death. Of the children, because again, you don't have the ability to control who dies first, unfortunately, and it's not unheard of, you know, whether by accident or otherwise, it does happen where there's the potential for at least the child to pass before the parent, and if that occurs, you're now going to be part of that estate process, and the interest in your house is going to be part of that estate process. So those are kind of the three big risks that are out there in terms of, you know, transferring something, you know, to your children. Like, you have to sit down and honestly assess what, at least with the respect to the debt question and the divorce question, what are the risks putting your house into their mess, you know, basically. And so, you know, in terms of an example, you know, mom and dad decide for, you know, they've met with their attorney and they've decided that this is a good idea for estate planning purposes. And they decide that they're going to transfer their house to their son and their daughter, and we call them Jack and Jill. You know, so they're going to do a deed and they're going to transfer, you know, from mom and dad to Jack and Jill. And at that moment, everything's fine. You know, Jack and Jill are single. You know, they haven't, you know, they're not married. And again, what could go wrong from there? So, but then, you know, again, take the Jack falls down. He incurs a bunch of medical bills. He incurs a bunch of credit card debt. He gets sued over these things. And, you know, all of a sudden you start seeing things pop up like credit card A filed a lawsuit against him and got a judgment for $5,000. Credit card B got one for $10,000. A medical provider, you know, for an unpaid bill got a judgment, you know, of $10,000. Well, the issue now becomes you're not going to be able to sell this house. Jack and Jill are not going to be able to sell this house or find it, you know, or get a loan based on this house. Or refinance any existing loan for this house, unless all of Jack's problems are taken care of. So, you know, again, we talked about it in a different show about the what happens at closing and the need to make sure that if you do sell the house, you're able to give clean title to the next buyer. And you know, the title person will go out and they'll look and they'll see a list of what Jack owes. And, you know, they're going to say, no money goes to Jack until we get paid. And they're going to be right. They're going to get paid before Jack gets paid. So the risk with debt is that you could be transferring it to, you know, Jack and Jill. And your intention may have been to provide this to them as part of the estate process and to kind of avoid the estate process. But Jack's creditors may have a say in it. Depending on where he is when the next event occurs. So debt is one of the concerns that's going to come up of debt of people your children. You know, the debt of the people that you're transferring it to. How responsible are they? If they don't have it now, are they going to have it later? You know, I mean, if they've been a goof, you know, for, you know, this whole time, you know, it's unlikely to change, you know, going forward. So that's something that you have to give, you know, significant concern to. The second thing is, you know, is divorce. You know, are Jack and Jill married either when you made the transfer or later on? And if the marriage doesn't work out, how is that going to factor into their divorce proceedings? Because it's going to be considered an asset of, you know, either Jack or Jill, and their soon to be ex-spouse is going to want to know about that. And one is going to want to, that's going to be factored into it.
And has a claim.
And they can have a claim. It will be part of that. It could be something that could impede, you know, the ability to sell it, you know, later on. So, I mean, you run the risk of stepping into whatever their issues become. And then, the third consideration is, you know, what about the unfortunate situation of, you know, does your child predecease you? And if that occurs, and again, they are either married or they have their own children, there's certainly the potential, almost certainty, that you're now going to have to go through an estate process for what they own. And you know, it's what this ultimately means is you the parent when you make this transfer, you're not going to be able to control what happens after that. You have to, in order to make this effective, if your goal is to avoid either inheritance tax in Pennsylvania or the potential for having to liquidate your, you know, or use your assets for healthcare, you will have to give up control. And when you give up control, you then run the risk of all of these things being out there. And while it could be the best intentions, it could also even be aside from estate planning or aside from, you know, concerns about healthcare, you know, mom and dad simply aren't able to keep up with it anymore, you know, or, you know, maybe you're concerned about a potential capacity issues, you know, like are they have early onset dementia? Those are the types of issues that lots of, you know, people deal with, you know, as their parents age. And real estate is, you know, typically your most significant asset. Like it's the most significant asset, and it is there, you know, the way the law is set up, you need certainty about who owns what. And with that, and to have that certainty, you if you're going to make a transfer, you're going to lose a certain amount of control over what you're doing. So those are some of the, you know, and we have seen these issues play out where it becomes a problem to sell that house as you move down the road after the parent has made, you know, that type of a decision.
So don't be blindsided by short-sightedness.
Yeah, you need to thoroughly consider, you know, these issues. You know, you need to consider what level of risk are you willing to live with in order to achieve saving someplace else. And it is a balancing factor, but it should not be a quick decision, and it should not, you need to understand that there are downsides to making these decisions, which can complicate things later on. Because going back to our example with Jack and Jill, even if they both decide to sell later, you're going to be stuck negotiating with all of Jack's creditors. So it's going to impede Jill's ability to do anything with the house also.
And make my life.
Right.
You're going to have to try and sell it. Good luck with that.
Yes. Make my life a little complicated.
Right. It'll make it extremely complicated because, again, you're not going to get through the closing until you've addressed whatever mess Jack has created.
Okay, we'll come back to this discussion after break. Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have an updated 3-bedroom, 3-bath home with a 2-car garage at 1107 Taylor Avenue in Dunmore for only $129,000. The updated kitchen has a brand new stove that hasn't even been used. The home has beautiful refinished hardwood floors and a heated sunroom. There is a detached 2-car garage along with apple trees, pear trees, and grapevines for your green thumb. That's a 3-bedroom, 3-bath home with a 2-car garage at 1107 Taylor Avenue with low taxes of only $1,650 a year for $129,000.
Thank you, Pat. With us today is attorney Larry Durkin from Durkin McDonald Law Offices, and we're talking about the family home and estate planning. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back.
Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate asks, what does your dream sound like?
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
We can take that wall out, extend this room.
No, honey. We're not knocking any walls down.
Mommy, can we turn this into a basketball court?
No, sweetie. It's a dining room. We're going to put a table in here and eat our meals.
My bedroom is huge.
Oh, you already have your bedroom picked out, huh?
This place is great.
I love it.
Whether you're searching for your family's new home or selling and moving on to the next exciting chapter in your life's journey, the award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate are here to help you realize your dream. Get in touch at jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
Good. Learning anything?
Yes, we are. We're having a great discussion with attorney Larry Durkin from Durkin McDonald Law Offices.
Good to be here with you.
Thanks for being here with us 2 weeks in a row. We're talking about the family homestead, the family home, when parents want to deed the property to their children to avoid perhaps health care, nursing home costs, or inheritance tax issues after they pass. They don't want their children to pay those items. They deed the house into, they're giving it, they're selling the house to the children for whatever, usually a dollar. And we talked about all those complications and complexities the first half of the show. Now, Pat has a very important question.
The 3Ds. We're talking about people do it to avoid the inheritance tax. How much is the inheritance tax in Pennsylvania?
So for the inheritance tax in Pennsylvania, when it's going from a parent to a child, and not a minor child, but an adult child, it's a 5% tax on the on what is being passed to the child. So if you have a $100,000 house, that's the entirety of your estate, you know, the cost of the estate are $20,000, so you're now at, you know, $80,000. it'll be 5% of $80,000 or $4,000 for the inheritance tax when it goes from parent to child. It's a higher rate when it goes to a more extended relative, and then the highest rate, which is 15%, when it goes to a third party. You know, whether it's
like if I left it to my neighbor.
Oh yeah, if you leave it to your neighbor, it's gonna, you know, they're gonna take, the state's gonna take 15% of the net, you know, that gets passed to them. So,
well, what about the federal tax on inheritance?
If you're talking about a federal estate tax, you know, then you have many millions of dollars,
and you don't worry about taxes.
And you know, you've considered these subjects for a long, long time prior to this show. So, for the vast majority of people, we're not talking about the federal estate tax, because the number has gone up repeatedly, and it's a many million of dollar number. So the vast majority of people, what we're talking about in terms of estate, you know, inheritance taxes, is Pennsylvania's inheritance tax, not a federal estate tax. That's usually not part of the equation.
Okay.
That, you know, we would be, you know, considering these things for. So, and you know, as a further condition of that, in order to avoid the Pennsylvania inheritance tax, the transfer has to have occurred at least a year prior to death. So you can't wait until the last minute and sign a deed. You know, it has to have, you know, it's generally a year has to have passed since the sale, you know, to the date of death in order to exclude it from the inheritance tax requirement.
What's the window of time for nursing home facilities, healthcare?
In general, you know, there's a 5-year look back. That too is evolving, you know, over time, and as it gets complicated, it has gotten more complicated, you know, recently.
Yes.
But 5 years is kind of the general rule of thumb. But it's ultimately for either of these things, if you're considering doing it, you really do need to talk to somebody who regularly does.
An attorney, a lawyer, right, who is well versed in estate planning. So there's a multitude of problems that can arise in these types of situations. We've gotten over that. What's the answer then? Is a life estate an answer?
So a life estate is something that you can consider, and what that basically means is a life estate is means that if you're giving it to your children, to Jack and Jill, you know, mom survives dad, and mom wants to give her house to Jack and Jill. So mom can do a deed in which she says, I'm giving the whole thing to Jack and Jill, but I'm reserving a life estate for the remainder of my life.
So she can live there for the remainder of her life.
Right, correct. Okay. So she will be on the deed, you know, as someone until she dies. Jack and Jill can't really do anything with it. And frankly, practically speaking, nobody is going to be able to do anything with it when a life estate is involved,
because including realtors.
Correct. Yeah, including realtors.
And I've had my fair share of nightmares over life estates.
Right.
Yes, because now what if mom has got Alzheimer's and she's in long-term care? There's all kinds of problems that come up.
Right. So, you know, mom's interest, it won't matter what her state of mind is, what her health is. If she's reserved a life estate, it's that's it. There's no further analysis of it. You know, there might be questions about whether she can convey that if she gave a power of attorney to somebody prior to, you know, being deemed incompetent. But, you know, so she will retain that level of control over it. And sometimes you see life estates too, you know, with people who have remarried, you know, where they want to leave the house ultimately to their children, but they've remarried, you know, the children are with the first spouse. They want the second spouse to be able to live there for his or her lifetime, and then when he or she dies, it then goes to children A, you know, from the original marriage. So it's a tool that can be used that way also. So it can protect, you know, you during your security in terms of what you own for your lifetime, or it could guarantee a benefit to somebody after you die. But it, like with all things legally, it cuts both ways, because you will own something when you die, and you will pay inheritance tax, you know, on that portion of it. You know, there's a way you calculate what's the value of my life estate, and you know, it will also be looked at, you know, as an asset you own while you're alive. So it's a tool that's out there, but if it will complicate things, you know, for realtors, for title agents, And for the, you know, whoever else is involved in the sale, if there's lawyers involved, it will be a complicating factor if, you know, once that deed is signed, you know, which gives it to Jack and Jill, but keeps the life estate for mom, it's going to be very hard to do anything with that property, at least while the mom is alive.
Well, I had one not too long ago. It was the mom had the life estate. She passed away. So I thought, gee, we're good to go. Mom, in the last 6 months of her life, went to a nursing home.
Okay, right. So now the nursing, they're looking at it and mm-hmm. they're saying mm-hmm. that was an asset she owned while she was alive. And, you know, there's rules in Pennsylvania
right.
about when the state, you know, contributes to the cost of care. There's fairly explicit rules that say the state gets that back out of your estate. They may not take it, you know, they're not going to take your house while you're alive. But when you die, if the Department of, you know, Health says we have a lien of whatever the number is, and it's not hard for it to get large quickly, that will have to be paid out of your estate. And the life estate will be something that's factored into your estate. So a life estate, in my mind, is a little bit like being half pregnant. You know, you're not, it's neither here nor there. You haven't, you know, you haven't given it up completely, and there's a cost of doing that. So you have to kind of pick your poison. You know, do you want to give up all the control? Well, if you do, you give up all the control, you're subject to, you know, the risks we talked about earlier of the death, divorce, and debt of your children. If you want to keep the life estate, you know, then there's costs associated with that also. They're not simple questions, and there's no simple answer onto what is the right thing to do. What will certainly happen, though, if you put a life estate in a property, is it will be harder to sell while that person's alive, and even in death, there could be a, you know, a complication with it.
Makes my job very interesting.
Well, it does. And it's going to, you know, if you're trying to sell that home or you're trying to buy it, you know, you have to walk into it knowing that this is a complication that's going to have to be dealt with before you're going to get across the finish line.
Exactly. Larry Durkin from Durkin McDonald Law Offices, your contact information, please.
So we're located in downtown Scranton at 108 North Washington Avenue. Our phone number is 570-558-1500, and our website is durkinmcdonaldlaw.com.
McDonald's is MacDonald.
Right, like old McDonald.
Thank you, Larry, for 2 weeks of fabulous real estate discussion.
Thank you.
Pat?
Yes, we have a great house at a great price. It's a 3-bedroom home located at 1018 North Webster Avenue in Scranton for only $59,000. This home has a beautiful kitchen with granite countertops and a tile floor. It also has a great open floor plan and beautiful hardwood floors. This home has replacement windows, off-street parking, it is freshly painted, and is in move-in condition. That's a very nice 3-bedroom home with hardwood floors at 1018 North Webster Avenue in Scranton for only $59,000, and that's listed by Nick Lawler of our office.
Thanks to Elizabeth Martin. She's an expert on Scranton. What is it like to live in Scranton? And I'm happy to report this because we usually hear all the bad things, the negative things about Scranton. But according to her, Scranton is ranked number 81 on the best places to live. And that's, she writes for U.S. News. The average rainfall in Scranton is 38.3 inches. Average annual salary is 40,000. Average temperature, high 58, low 40. Medium age is 43. Average monthly rent is $700 a month, and unemployment rate is 4.6. Now, Scranton has many nice things. It's the sixth largest city in Pennsylvania. The city owes its name to the Scranton family, who helped establish the city as an iron and steel capital in the 19th and 20th centuries. The city's low crime rate, low cost of living makes Scranton a popular place for families. And our St. Paddy's Day parade brings in a lot of people from outside areas. You often say it's...
brings in all them New Yorkers.
But it's what? It's one of the
largest St. Patrick's Day parades in the country.
Right. And so there's a lot to do in Scranton. The U.S. News also said the best places to live. I have the top 10 ranking. 1, Denver, Colorado. 2, Austin, Texas. 3, Fayetteville, Arkansas. 4, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. 5, Colorado Springs, Colorado. 6, Boise, Idaho. 7, Seattle, Washington. 8, Washington, D.C. 9, San Francisco, California. 10, San Jose, California. And the list goes to 25, but I'll stop right there. But I want to mention number 25 is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.